of a speed difference between the two teams. I mean, it was just obvious from like the first couple minutes of that ball game.
That Iowa team.
Yeah, it went beyond stereotypical of what we think of an SEC Big Ten football game. That was, and I'm like you, from the first play, Brocky, it looked like that we just basically jogged around the end for 8 yards.
Yep, exactly right. So, you know, what's even, so if you look back at that first half, what could even been more impressive, the first time we had the punt, if you remember, Dobbs overthrew Von Pearson wide open for a first down.
Yeah, he started off 7-7, Brocky, and he was wide open. I mean, they could have practically named their own score in the first half.
And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, there was later in the first half, our other punt was when I think he hit Josh Malone and he dropped it for another first down. So, I mean, that could have been – I mean, I thought it was just a phenomenal performance, but – I mean, it could have really been something. I mean, they were just on their game today. I mean, that was just the bottom line. And I tell you what, fellas, there's a couple of ball players on this team that I just don't think get enough credit. And I tell you what, I thought Jones and that clown Rod Gilmore both did a pretty decent job today, Basilio. But one thing that disappointed me is they really didn't ever get into Gilliam's story and what all he's been through with the ACL and coming back and then the broke hand this week and all. And you can tell a difference in that offensive line when that kid played versus when he was not on the field.
No doubt about it, Brocky. I mean, you know, the thing about it, you look at that Iowa defensive line. I mean, that's not a bunch of scrubs on there. They've got some nice players on that defensive line, and Tennessee's much maligned offensive line handled them. For the most part.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, that Scrow, Russell Dubs, I think, said that one defensive tackle was a number four prospect in the draft.
Yeah, one of
the
those
Davis guy. I believe that's what it said.
Yeah, so, three of those guys were all Big Ten this year.
Another kid I was going to say, too, is Pig Howard. You know, when all that mess was going on last spring and all, and we just signed Josh Malone, and, you know, you're looking at Pearson coming in and, of course, Josh Smith coming back and Marquez North coming into his sophomore year. And I was just thinking, man, I just don't know if it's going to be a big deal or not, whether he comes back. And that guy has been the glue to that wide receiver core this year. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
No doubt. Pig is a playmaker, and he was instrumental today. You know, you look at the guys they were missing, and I think you got to give Bajakin some credit, too, right, today. I mean, they had it working. They were in a rhythm. They're missing some playmakers, but they were still able to get, you know, a nice distribution between Howard and Pearson and Hurd and Dobbs and kind of keep Iowa on their heels throughout.
Well, you know, the best thing about this, guys, and I want to talk defense just real quick, because I don't want to say this too. The best thing about it is just the momentum. It feels so good to finally have momentum back, or at least that perceived momentum. With last year's recruiting class, what these freshmen proved on the field, what they're getting ready to bring in again. I mean, I'm really excited for the future. I mean, and to me already, Basilio, when you look at next year's schedule, and obviously I want to win the East, but to me, the game you can go ahead and circle is that Oklahoma
you
game
at
Neyland Stadium.
It's huge.
That's huge.
Turning
huge
point
football
game. Statement game.
Huge.
And
you,
absolutely.
And you got
and
to get
that,
it.
As for the defense, that friggin' Derek Barnett, that guy is just a nasty SOB on that football.
He really is, man. And he's a great
kid. He might need to
tone
it down a time or two, but man, I mean, even after he got that penalty for the late hit, when we picked that ball and what he did to that, I mean, that guy is just nasty, man.
What a terrific player. Just a
he
terrific
really is.
Football
I mean,
player.
He's a once in a generation type player, and I'm sure I'm glad we got him. So, I'll get off here, guys, and quit rambling, but I'm just tickled to death. And like I said, if you're not in these playoff games, these are really the funnest kind of bowl games to be in, because you just feel that energy heading into next season now and what could be over the next couple of years. So,
thank you, my friend.
Later, guys.
And here's the thing about it. The people that cover the game who are the guys that shape opinion are saying things about Tennessee, guys like they're the team of the future. That's what you're hearing a lot of people say.
They're going to be the trendy pick this all off season, kind of like Ole Miss was the year before last, when everybody's like, oh, you know, they've got the hot young coach, the recruits and all that stuff. I think Tennessee's going to get a lot of love this off season.
And you got to handle it well. The trick here is, you have got to handle this well. And it's going to be interesting, Bino, because in every step in this process here, there's another piece here that's got to happen.
Yeah, Tony, I mean, I'm the one that should have the most sense of urgency here. I don't have a lot of lucid Tennessee football seasons left. This was a step forward that I appreciate. Next year, my expectations are that we cobble together a good enough offensive line to go with the rest of our squad that's going to be solid, that we are a factor in the East, and that we start defending our home field. I think that's the next step. And then in year 4 and 5, I think we should expect to be a team that wins the East in one of those 2 years. So that's what I'm looking for going forward. Real quick, one play that nobody will talk about that I think exemplified the type of effort that we saw in this bowl game today in the preparation, and was the batted ball that Iowa's got three guys there ready to intercept it, and Wolf comes out of nowhere, Ethan Wolf comes out of nowhere and goes through that big mob of humanity and bats the ball down. Just little things like that that you have to do that keep you in position to win a football game. And we had that kind of effort today.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. And let's grab Sam, who's up next with us tonight on your Smartway, Dalton Bearing, and Hydraulic. Tennessee fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tom, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, my friend, welcome.
Hey, first time caller, long time listener, buddy.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'm an engineering student at UT.
Thank you.
And we're down here live and living color out here in Jacksonville. We this game, and we are blown away, brother.
I guarantee you, you guys had the time of your lives. Describe it to me.
Well, I mean, it was just wonderful to be up on. The biggest thing for me was the bragging rights. My sister is an engineering student at Alabama. And so the first thing I done, when we reached the third quarter and we're up by, 38 points at the end of the third, I call her out and said, so Alabama is 0% winning percentage in 2015 and the Vols are 100%. You guys can't beat a Big Ten team. And we're just smacking one around. I mean, the atmosphere was wonderful. I haven't seen, you know, more of a home game. And so, I mean, I'm talking about, I went to the Vandy game in Nashville, and this game was more of a home game in Florida than that one was in Nashville. I mean, it was absolutely wonderful.
Allow us at Tennessee to carry the banner for your sister for a while. Allow us to save some face for the Southeastern Conference since Alabama embarrassed themselves last night on the big stage. I hope your sister took it appreciatively. I hope she saw what it was at Tennessee that we did for them today.
Oh, I mean, I guarantee, you know, she's scared of it, us coming to Tuscaloosa next year. I'm not going to call it a win yet because, I mean, I have a few classes with Josh Dobbs, and he's a serious guy, one of the more intelligent guys, you know, in the whole engineering college. But, I mean, I think this kid is real, and I think we're going to have a great outlook for next year. What do you think, Tom?
I'm looking at, and we've been talking about it tonight so far, and here's the thing I don't want to do. I don't want to throw undue pressure on him, but it's moving time now. The program, it's year three. Dobbs is in year three. You've got all those skill people around him. You've got incredible young players on defense and some incredible veteran players on defense like Cam Sutton. You've got a linebacking core that's going to be a lot better next year, a defensive line that's going to get a lot better. You just got a new lockdown corner to help give you some more depth in your secondary in Martin the other day. This is really coming together, man. And you're in an Eastern Division that is, I don't want to set anything up here, but it's extremely winnable, Sam. It's extremely winnable.
Oh, I'm right there with you. And with guys like Phillips and with, I mean, you noticed it tonight. You know, we're missing an All-American, first-team SEC middle linebacker, and you didn't even notice. I mean, we were shutting down the run like it wasn't that big of a deal. And so you look at next year and you look at another year in the weight room, another year faster, and plus the talent we've got coming in. I mean, I don't see why you can't, you know, put the expectation on Jones after he gets his really, I mean, in my opinion, it might have been a pretty heavy, a little bit bigger than what he might have deserved contract extension, in my personal opinion. But I'm a student that pays thousands of dollars to get to the university that pays his head coach $3.6 mil. So he got a huge raise. He's got huge guys, huge recruits coming in. I don't see why you can't put this expectation on this team. 9 wins. I mean, I personally, I think we can make it to the Atlanta next year. Why can't we win the East?
Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you. Hey, have a great, safe trip back, okay?
Yes, sir. Good talking to you, Tom.
All right, thank you. You guys, thoughts on Sam's call? Go ahead, Russell.
You know, one of the interesting things I think about the Justin Martin commitment this week that kind of illustrates the depth that Jones is building here is he's a long, you know, 6'2" corner with elite speed. 2 years, but he's kind of raw. The analysts will say he might need some seasoning. Last year, 2-3 years ago, Tennessee signs a guy like that. He's penciled in starting immediately. There's no backup. Now, you've got Mosley and Sutton next year. You can afford to give him the time he needs to adjust from junior college before you do have to throw him in there as a starter or whatever he may be, and that's kind of the way it used to be and hopefully the way they're getting back to.
And the depth, too, is on defense. It's across the board. I mean, there's just so many quality players defensively. And we'll go back to the phones and grab another call. Bino, your thoughts before we get Brentwood Don in here?
Just thanks to Sam and all the many Paul fans that went down there and represented, made the program look so good on national television in kind of a standalone game. And I don't think there's anything wrong with thinking that Tennessee has an opportunity to be in Atlanta next year. I just don't think that we should step that up into a demand. They expect a hope, yes, a demand, no.
I think that's right on the money. Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 is our number. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us, and let's get Brentwood Don in here is next with us. Brentwood Don, hello.
Tony, how you doing? It's great to be at Tennessee Ball. Thanks for having me on the show.
Man, isn't it great to share this thing we call Big Orange Country. Welcome, man.
Well, hey, just one quick call out that I'll hang up and listen to your feedback. But I really think, you know, from the recruiting standpoint, fan base standpoint, I think we are right where we need to be. I mean, the momentum is definitely going in the right direction. The one concern I have, and this may not be the forum for this today, but I want to throw this out there. Is it fair for me to say that Butch Jones and his staff has got to get better as the talent has gotten better?
Yes, I think that is fair. Sure.
Because as you think about the talent coming in and the expectations getting better, you know, there's a lot of different things that are happening in some of these games that as we get on a bigger platform, that, you know, we're just not going to be able to afford to be in those situations. You know, I think about some of the weird play calling and the timeout situations and things of that nature. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get at it in a nutshell is that, you know, we've got the talent coming in now. The fan base is energized. And you know what? I think this staff is going to really have to take a look at themselves over the next 6 months and really think about building their capabilities as well. So I'll hang up and listen to your takeaways.
Guys, what do you think? Bino, I'll start with you.
I don't believe there's any doubt, Tony, and Coach Jones talks about it himself all the time, how little room for error you have in this league. So as the talent gets better, as we get closer talent-wise, it's going to be more and more imperative that Butch Jones and his staff are on the money as well.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 is our number. Brendan Orrick, Dar Flash, is meeting you and greeting you on our phone lines, and he does a wonderful job for me and for us. and I appreciate him being here this evening. We were originally going to be on site over at Doc's. We blew it up so much that we were told by those folks, hey, we've had such a great night. Tony, go home, be with your family, do it out of the studio, have some fun, knock it out. There you go.
Tony, be honest now. They threw you out after you took your clothes off and moonwalked across the bar when Tennessee went up 20 at nothing.
I did
You got tossed out of there.
I did a funny dance.
The bouncer had to haul you out in a headlock.
I did do a funny dance, but I didn't take my clothes off. Big Mike, hello and welcome.
Tony, it's Mike here in Jacksonville.
Ah, another call from Jacksonville. My man, is that my man Carver right there?
Have you got it, brother?
Carver, talk to me. How does the spirit and the mood feel for you? Your thoughts.
Well, first of all, I want to wish you and Beano a happy new year. Looking forward to 2015. We fed a bunch of people last year. We're going to feed a lot more this year. But, you walk in, it's like old times. You walk in the stadium, and it was just like it used to be. People yelling how great it was to be a Tennessee Vol. I mean, walking in the stadium, you pretty much knew that this crowd was into it. We probably had 80 to 90% of the crowd. It was like old times. I agree with Beano about the depth thing. We had a big game with Bynum tonight. He was all over the field, and that just shows you how important depth is. I thought he had a great game on defense. But if this doesn't set the tone for to finish off this recruiting year, just to end it on such a strong note and set the tone for next year, that's what's exciting. But, the game was a rout. We blew them out the last three series. I'm one that I think you can only coach one team. I wanted to throw the ball to Malone late just to get him a little bit more confidence, but that wasn't what they chose to do. And then, of course, I was on, onside kicking with 20 seconds to go. Kind of rubbed me wrong because, anytime you're blowing a team out and you call off the dogs and – you say, okay, the game's over. We're not going to run up on you. And then they keep going long and kicking onside kick. It kind of rubbed me a little bit wrong, but no negatives tonight. Tremendous. Butch had them ready. I will say this. I like the, my last bowl game was the former Clemson game. And I can tell you what, I was pretty much determined that I didn't know when my next bowl game would be, but, Butch had them ready and congratulations to him. And Vol Nation and the Volunteers, we're very poised to move forward here in a dramatic fashion. I'm very, very excited.
Are you telling me that you haven't been to a bowl game in like, let's see, that Clemson game? That was 11 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I went to every bowl game since I moved back here. The Clemson game, we were so much better than them, but we weren't ready. You're either ready or you're not. You saw,
yep.
I thought it was funny that, Ohio State's coach, today, I was listening to ESPN radio and he said, well, our players didn't know, they really didn't know if they could beat Alabama, but after they heard the Wisconsin score, then they knew they could beat Alabama. I mean, that's what happens in these bowl games. And little things like that, these bowl games, this is a big deal. I didn't go to the last bowl game because we haven't been to a bowl game in several years. But, they were well prepared. Tennessee was ready to play. When they hit the field, you could feel it. I mean, they were ready, and they put on a strong performance today. It was very enjoyable to watch. It was like old times.
It was like old times. That's a great way of putting it. It was like, it was the way it used to feel around here. You'd put it out there. You've got better team than somebody else. You're well prepared and you truck them. And that's what you do. You're faster than they are. You're stronger. You're more prepared and you just truck them and you pop them. And that's what happened tonight.
Yeah. It was a great time. And I'm already excited about next year's bowl game.
You should
that
be.
Kind of experience down here. And I will say this, great stadium, pro stadium.
Mm-hmm.
People were tremendous. You know, Iowa people are pretty nice people. They're they're unlike Florida, Alabama people, typically. Mm-hmm. Not saying there's not good Florida, Alabama people.
There aren't.
You know, very, very cordial, good people. Just a great atmosphere for college football tonight. A great volunteer win. And thank God for this technology. You know, I'm leaving the Gator Bowl when I'm listening to Tony Basilio. What a great
Can't beat it, brother. Thank you. And we'll continue to entertain you all the way home tonight because we're doing Brandon's going to take over for me at 9 o'clock. He's going to do the 9 o'clock till 2 a.m. shift, five straight hours here on the app. I really wanted to do that after the Florida game. I wanted to do like a 13-hour broadcast after the Florida game this past year. But we're getting them this year in the swamp. I've got that one circled on my calendar of games to get and things I want under the tree. By the way, let me say a word here, and then we'll go back to our phones. And 865-200-5402. And I do want to say we have a little break in the action here, a little lull on the phone line. So if you've been trying to call and you've been encountering busy signals, the number is 865-200-5402. My name is Tony Basilio. You can check me out at TonyBasilio.com. Also, Russell Smith from Knox Talk Radio. He's on 94.3 FM. He's in studio with me. You can hear him from 3 to 6 Eastern Time daily. I've got Bino across the way who sits in with me on Fridays. And you can also read his stuff over at TonyBasilio.com. We are presented tonight by our friends at Smartway and Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. And let me say a word here about Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. You know, Randy Dalton sent me a message a few minutes ago, and Randy said to me, he said, okay, let's see if I can find it here. I'm going through my stuff, Randy. He said, Tony, I want to personally thank the Vol Nation and you for the show of support this year, all the business that we've done off the show. And he also said, thank you for all the things that you do in our community. Hey, Randy, likewise to you, man. Right back at you, brother. I appreciate you for standing behind this show. And I also appreciate how great of a citizen you are in our community as well. And with that in mind, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, here's the thing. I don't care what you're looking for. But if you're looking for anything that makes a mobile component work, they have it. And they also build hydraulic cylinders there and motors. They have hoses, hose assemblies, fittings. They have couplings. They have hydraulic motors. They have millions and millions of bearings. And in the year 2014, they had a record-breaking year. They sold over 350,000 350,000 custom hydraulic cylinders or power units. I mean, they blew it out there in 2014. And you are a big reason for that. So thank you for that. You can check them out online at DaltonHydraulic.com. Randy also is one of our presenting sponsors of our basketball post-game shows that we have. We do that after each and every basketball game. So now that we're getting ready to start, beginning on Wednesday, the league play in basketball, which I think Tennessee will be very successful in league play coming up. Keep that in mind. Let's go back to our busy phones at 865-200-5402. Let's grab our next call. Hello this evening, and we'll welcome Doug, who's done a great job for us in Jacksonville. Doug, I'd like your thoughts on what you saw today.
Well, I saw an absolute demolition. I think I saw what you guys saw. What an unbelievable night for the Tennessee Volunteers. You know, I was able to I tweeted you. I had some great seats. I was able to get down onto the field for the last 5 minutes. And then for the celebration, for the trophy presentation, and then I followed them into the tunnel and was able to do the press conference. So I want to go over two things. Before I get into the Vols, I want to tell you this, Tony, and I want all your listeners to hear this. I want you to remember back in 2012 when we played in Atlanta, first game of the year. I want to give you a little bit of props. I remember you were doing your show live, and I remember your son being with you during the show. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, what an unbelievable parent this guy must be. His son, he's live on the air, and he's just sitting there with his son. You were kind of patting your son on the back. And, you know, your son was just behaving while you were live on the air. And I just remember saying, what an awesome father-son relationship that should be, because your son was so well behaved and you seemed like such a great father. So I want to give you some props for that. That really had an impact on me. I don't have kids. I'm a school teacher, but I don't have kids. But I just remember thinking, wow, this guy must be one heck of a father. If I think your son was maybe 12, 13 years old. If he can just have a 12 and 13 year old son that was so respectful to him, that was just unbelievable. So props to you, Tony. Now let's get back to the game. You know, what an unbelievable performance by the team. The fans were unbelievable. I know I probably tweeted you about 1,000 times while I was in the press conference. I was able to get on the field and celebrate with the team. And I want to give props to the Tennessee Volunteers players, obviously, for how they played so well overall. But let me tell you something. When the game was over and there was celebration and there was Gatorades and pictures and all that stuff, you know how many cuss words I heard from the Tennessee Volunteers? Not one. Not one cuss word from the Tennessee Volunteers, even when they're celebrating. And just coming up to the fans, giving the fans and the bands props. If any fan like myself, others that was hanging on the first row, asking for pictures, not one time did they deny that. It was just an unbelievable experience. And I just want to give props to the players. When Coach Jones talked about being character field players, I think these guys are character field players. Now, to the folks that have never met Coach Jones personally, I want to say, you see him on the sidelines and you think he's crazy and he's intense and all that stuff. Probably one of the most approachable people you can meet. Probably one of the most approachable, humble people when it comes to respecting the fans and Ball Nation. And he's just done an unbelievable job, in my opinion. With that, I'll get your comments.
Bino, your thoughts.
Tony, I thought Doug made a great point. One of the things when we were playing so well in the first quarter and everything was going right exactly the way that you would have it, and it was pretty much obvious it was going to be a beatdown, I thought that Tennessee handled themselves well in that situation. I've seen a whole bunch of taunting and nonsense that has no place in the game throughout this bowl season. Tennessee did not do that, and I was proud of them for that.
Doug, anything else for us tonight? I noticed you had some interesting comments. It seems the players believe, and you were there inside the bowels, the players seem to believe this is the beginning of the ascent.
Absolutely. You absolutely are talking about it. I know the last person that I got to hear making comments post-game was Jalen Hurd, and that was, I think I tweeted that to you. You know, he just believes, and I think all the other players believe, that something special is starting at Tennessee. To go back about year one of Coach Jones's reign, when I was here in Jacksonville and Coach Thigpen was on a recruiting trip, it was just before we played Florida in the Swamp. The night before, he was over at Clay High School, which is a county outside of Jacksonville, watching Dylan Bates play. And I remember meeting Coach Thigpen and just introducing myself. And I said, hey, we're glad that you're here. And I said, you know, I appreciate everything you guys do. And he looked at me, and it was just more of a just confident matter of fact. You know what we're going to do, and we know what we need to do, and we're going to get it done. And it was just so confident. And I believe that these guys have a plan, and they know year one, year two, year three. And I, you know, one of the questions at the press conference was, are they on schedule? And Coach Jones really didn't answer it specifically, but I believe the staff believes that they're on schedule, and year three, obviously, you know, we are hoping that something special will happen. With that, I appreciate you letting me be a listener.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you.
And, I appreciate everything and hope for more things to come. Hopefully I can be a regular caller here and can just have some of the great times that are in the future of Tennessee. And I think it was beginning here in the last few weeks. I think it started with the South Carolina game and the momentum. And I think it's just like a snowball and an avalanche. And, Big Orange Nation, I think, will be coming back with a vengeance. And those final four games we can expect to see us in the next, hopefully year, two, three, or however many. But hopefully we're going to be back with a vengeance. And with that, I bid you adieu. Have a great night, Tony.
Thank you, my friend. Bino, I love Doug's spirit, brother. With a stadium full of people like Doug, Bino, we ain't losing.
Well, Tony, I'm just glad that the Tennessee fan base was rewarded for their travels. It's been a long time since they had that thrill, and they're going to have a happy and hopefully safe ride home.
865-200-5402. Let's get Mark in here, who's next with us, followed by Chris Burke, who's on hold. Mark, hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, my first call today was all about the Ohio State Buckeyes. The second call is all about that performance down there in Jacksonville. Butch, I think you understood how important this game was, the fan base, how we could not have another losing season, and he had that team so well prepared. Why I wouldn't stand a chance. Parents, they said on the television, parents had that team down there for like 11 days in Jacksonville. Had them there through Christmas and through New Year's.
Right, and that's what I heard, and I can't believe that, because those kids looked like they wanted to go home, didn't they?
They did, and honestly, I didn't care that the opponent wasn't very good. Doesn't matter. We could finally kind of close the door on the Dooley debacle and move forward. This is the best I saw as a Tennessee fan since maybe 06, where you actually have a smile on your face at the end of the season, and it's not like you actually see the light at the end of the tunnel to where we're going to be back where we belong.
Right on the money, brother.
I mean, there's finally hope, you know, and it's starting to come to fruition.
Okay, Mark, for a change, it's not false hope. We have hope based on things that we've seen.
Yeah, we're not trying to talk ourselves into something, Bino, which has been the case around here.
I mean, I had a little bit of trepidation about this game just because of how the Big Ten looked yesterday. I said, oh, maybe they're just a little better. Maybe they're better than I think, and maybe the SEC's not quite as good. And Tennessee came. Butch knew how important this game was. And not only that, we finally got some bowl practices that we haven't had in 4 years. That does just a ton for our development of these young kids. A ton and we haven't had them. I believe that's the biggest thing as anything. It's set us back. Not having those 20 practices at the end of the regular season that every other school's had.
You got it.
All right, brother. I've said my piece for the day. Thank you,
man. Hey, Mark, thanks, buddy. Thanks for being there. What a great celebration we're having tonight. And 865-200-5402 is our number. Life is a celebration, and we're celebrating it tonight with you. Life in Big Orange Country this evening is a celebration, and the day only gets better. Scott Compton is reporting on Twitter tonight. Yes, that's right. My Scott Compton is reporting that head coach Mark Richt through News 11, 11 Alive, down in Athens, Georgia, WXIA.
Sounds legit.
Is reporting through Scott Compton tonight that Hartman Fund contributors Friday morning, along with UGA Athletic Director Greg McGarity, said the school is working on a contract extension for head coach Mark Richt.
Oh, so
yes.
You set that up like you were going to deliver some sort of buyout news or
no.
Leaving.
Stale bread. Stale bread. bread crumbs, bread crumbs, bread crumbs, bread crumbs. Bino, Georgia, did you not get trolled into thinking, stale bread.
Bino, did you not get trolled into thinking that Basilio was about to break news that Mark Richt was leaving there?
Well, two things, Russell. One, I've been with him too long, and secondly, I'm monitoring Twitter, so I had a little bit of a hint to that.
Is that good news or bad? It's bad news for us, isn't it?
No, I don't think that's bad news, Tim.
Huh. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us. Let's go back to our busy, busy phones and grab Chris Burke, who joins next. Chris Burke, hello, sir.
Tony B.
Great to talk to you, Burke. Hey.
Good to talk to you, my man. Bino, Russell, good to be on with you guys. Appreciate all you guys do every week for the...
Get out of town, Chris. We're honored to speak with you.
No. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. I just appreciate... You guys have no idea how many... restless evenings in the fall I spend with you all, so it's good to be on with you finally. I was tickled to death by the game today, mostly because of how efficient we were on offense in the first half. And I think I was really pleased because after the Vanderbilt game, and if you look at how different the Kentucky and the Vanderbilt games were, you worried what the offense looks like if we're not at our full complement of offensive players. But it shows some of the depth that we have, that we're able to play without Kerm, without North. Who am I missing there? Somebody else on that?
Josh Smith, who we lost a long time ago. Yeah, we were four. Yeah. We were down four receivers.
Yeah, and the fact that we were able to be as good as we were, Pig Howard, you know, probably the unsung hero of the offense, kind of the consistent staple all year long. Just so pleased with the way he played and really just pleased with the game plan. I mean, I really feel like the bowl games, and obviously our players have more motivation than most, but it's a direct reflection of the staff's ability to keep the team focused and put together a game plan. I tell you, I think I was actually, not to get too far off track, but I thought Nick Saban stood up and answered the bell about as well as any head coach could after the game when he said, like, he felt like they lost the game for their players and that the coaching staff apologized to the team afterwards, at least he did, for how they failed the players. And I feel like so much of the bowl game preparation falls on the coaching staff, because at that point in time, there are no excuses. You know exactly who you have, and you got to put together a game plan for who you have. And I was just extremely pleased with the way the coaches showed out in this bowl game. And I think the future is bright. Your guys' thought?
Bino, jump in there.
Chris, I don't believe that they could have used the days available to them any better than they did. I thought our offensive line played much better than I thought they were capable of. Our game plan was on the money, and our players were prepared, and they were mentally prepared as well. They weren't overwhelmed. They weren't hot. I don't think they could have prepared this team any better than
Hey, Berkey, thank God we didn't meet your kids tonight on the football field. They sound like they're getting ready to take over the world back there. Good night, Berkey. You got to pre-medicate with that little young family you have.
I got a 2.5-year-old that might be plugging some holes here in about 15 years. This sucker, you don't want to meet this kid in the dark alley. He will run you over.
I don't want to meet that kid right now. That kid sounds like he's got bad intentions.
Oh, there ain't no doubt. He's giving it to my 5-year-old right now. It's beautiful. We got daddy daycare going on. It's unbelievable here at the Burke household.
We might have found the fullback Butch Jones is looking for.
and don't get me started on the spread. But anyway, guys, I just wanted to chime in. I'll let you guys get back to your show. Appreciate all you do. What a good night it is to be involved.
Thank you, my friend. It is a great night. And, Berkey, thank you for your contributions here and the way you represent us on national television, on ESPN, and all the great work Chris Burke does. Hey, what a blessing.
Big couple of days for the spread, huh? Oregon, Ohio State, Tennessee, all taking old school ground and pound teams behind the woodshed the past 48 hours.
Well, the truth is, when you have spread, when you're playing the spread, and you are going against somebody who's slower or physically limited, you're going to expose them. Because
speed
that
kills.
Because that fast, you know, it's when you play the Alabamas of the world that it gets kind of dicey. But I'll say this: Alabama last night could not get off the field. That was a you talk about something that none of the experts saw coming.
They've taken a step back. They're not as loaded up as they used to. I mean, nope. They're still very good, but they're not loaded the way they were 2 or 3 years ago.
Bino, proclaim it again, because I love the way you say it, and when your beady little eyes get so excited the way you say it. Go ahead. I'm going to picture your beady little eyes saying this again, and you love proclaiming this.
I just believe that the kick six last year was Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson. I think it was David Tyree trapping a ball on the side of his helmet. They're always going to be good as long as Saban's down there. But their air of invincibility—it's Tiger Woods driving into a tree at the end of his driveway. They're no longer invincible. It's gone, and they will never play for another national championship in the Saban era.
Brendan Orick is extremely offended that you would say that about Alabama tonight. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200. What's the number?
865-5402.
Yeah. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the mix and in the hunt with us tonight, Mark Richt, I love it. We want you on the job forever and ever. Amen. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in here. Ladies first. Hannah has just emerged on our lines. We're going to go out of order for her. The guys that are on hold, Hannah, would have it no other way. Hello and welcome.
Okay. Hello, how old you are?
I'm Hannah. I'm your biggest fan. My dad wants you to listen, and I'm your biggest fan. I'm 10.
Oh, wow, Hannah. So great to have you.
I love your show, and I think Tennessee did amazing tonight. The only bad thing is that the offense, the defense, got that player got hurt, and that was he did not need it. But I think Tennessee did great with all the touchdowns and passes, and some of the penalties were good. That Iowa did. They did some of the penalties that gave them Tennessee a really good head start in the game.
Hannah, where did you watch the game tonight?
Oh, at my house.
Your house? Who was there watching the game with you?
Oh, my mom and dad. We live in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, that's so great, Hannah. Beautiful Charleston. I'll tell you what, I want to get over there this summer. See if your mom and dad will let me stay with them.
You are more than welcome to stay with us anytime. I think my husband would be really happy. You should give a shout out to Patrick Dowd, because I know he's listening to you right now.
Oh, who are we giving a shout out to? Do it again.
My husband, Patrick Dowd.
All right, Patrick Dowd. Patrick, you sound like a blessed man, and that's good stuff. This brings people together, doesn't it? And it's good to smile for once, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. We haven't been there in a while. My husband and I both went to UT back in 96. So it's good to finally be back to a winning streak.
Really, really appreciate you being there tonight. And, hey, thank you so much for you've made my night. And your daughter sounds lovely. What a blessing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for picking up our call. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now. Thank you. Wow, I'll tell you what, GQF could learn a little something from that young girl's calls, Bino. Succinct, to the point. She made great points. She didn't ramble. She didn't come on with her own agenda, unlike him.
No George Quarles or John Gruden references.
No John Gruden references. No George. That's a very good point by you.
She didn't call Kendall Butterbean.
865-200-5402.
Did you see the picture of Kendall at the game in the orange and white checkerboard overalls? Halftime.
Stop it.
What?
Did you see the picture of the girl in the shirt?
Yes.
I'm not even gonna. I'm not even gonna start.
She tatted up too. I mean, that looks like the kind you bring home to mother right there.
865-200-5402. 865-200-5402.
Classy gal, like you used
to. Vino, did you see the girl's shirt at the game tonight?
Yes, I did. I did. She was representing.
Back to the phones. Yes, she was representing in her own little way. Back to the phones we go. Let's grab another call tonight, and let's get Magnum in here. Magnum, hello.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Magnum.
Guys, we're setting, as the Tennessee Volunteers, we're setting on the longest winning streak in the SEC right now. At two games.
Does two have it?
Wow, yeah. That's incredible.
Everybody that won bowl games had lost their last regular season game.
That's a great number. Now, before I tweet that out.
So if you look at a box score, you know, top standing, you look out there and you got 2W out there by our name. And that's great.
That is fantastic. Arkansas lose their last game of the regular season?
LSU, yeah, didn't they? Or yeah. It was Missouri. That's right. Missouri yeah, up right. There. That's right.
Yeah.
Who else, Bino's in question in this? We know Vanderbilt did.
South Carolina lost
Magnum
to Clemson.
Says that there's, it is
Kentucky
not,
lost.
Oh, I've done the research here. So.
Well, we're just trying to. We're just
you're not
going to
take Magnum at his word? You're going to fact check him live?
I am absolutely. Magnum and take me at my word, and I'm absolutely not taking him at his.
We're hoping to discredit you, as a matter of fact, Magnum.
Yes.
Well, that wouldn't take much. But, you know, the bigger thing is we have a legitimate winning season. And, you know, we've won the last game. I mean, there's just, for once, I'm really looking forward to the season next year already.
Yeah, it's a big difference, Magnum. We talked about it. It's the first time in forever when we've gone into the off season with something to really be happy and looking forward to. It's been an odd.
And I was, you know, I didn't plan very well, and then saw all the people that were going down there, and I haven't been jealous of anybody in a while, but I was kind of jealous of the people that went. It looked like a fun time today, and that's something we hadn't had much of. We used to have it all the time, and we kind of took it for granted. And that's, there's a lot of optimism now.
And there should be. This is a fun, fun place to be. The ascent in a fan base, this is a fun spot that we're in right now.
It
really is.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, as when I was a young kid there in the 80s, you know, you kind of look to improve every year. And that's a lot of fun. And you guys made a good point earlier not to demand a certain amount of wins next year. You can expect a certain amount of wins, but, I mean, I demand a winning season next year. But, you know, as far as people throwing out 9 wins and starting demanding that, that's a little much.
No. And the thing is, it's just fun to have this back. It's fun to be relevant again. And somebody asked me an interesting question, and I want you guys to give me chime in. Let's go around the room here, Magnum. I'll start with you. Somebody said, do you think Tennessee will be ranked coming in the next season? And I think the answer to that is probably no, but I think at some point next season, after the first week of the season, maybe, I think Tennessee will be ranked. And they might be ranked before the season starts. Russell, what do you think?
Hard to say right now, but go back to what we were talking about with Brocky. I think that Oklahoma game is so pivotal. You win that one. Oh, yeah, you're ranked.
You're on top 15, 16, 17.
Yeah, at that point. But coming into the season, I don't know enough about what everybody else has coming back to say.
Bino?
Yeah. I'm going to say that Tennessee is either right at the bottom of the top 25 or within, they're going to be top 30 when it comes out, maybe top 28, and possibly in the top 25 right at the bottom.
Hmm. Anything else for us tonight, Mag, on this great smart way Dalton Berrigan hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction night?
Well, we've got Bowling Green at first the next year, so that'd be three wins in a row.
That's exactly right. That's why that Oklahoma game's gigantic. And you know what we're going to take that 3-0 record into next year? Right down there to Gainesville. And you know what we're going to do to them?
I don't know what they're going to do.
I'm certainly not going to say
never,
it. I've learned my lesson.
I'm never going to predict that.
Yeah, you got it, brother. You know what I noticed there, Magnum? And thank you for the phone call. Happy New Year to you. We had three, no, count them, four moments of silence. I did a moment of silence. Russell did a moment of silence. Bino was silent for once. And Magnum wasn't touching that with a 10-foot pole. Can I get Brandon Orrick to predict tonight that Tennessee will defeat the Florida Gators? Do you want to go there tonight, Brandon?
No, I'll stay away from that
one. He's staying away. Well, that's interesting.
Can I remind you of a prediction I made earlier in the year on this very show?
Please.
I told you after we got beat that night at Oklahoma that we would get back in the national conscience and spotlight when we play Oklahoma in Knoxville next year. I'm standing by that. We're going to beat the Sooners in Knoxville next year, and that's when people are going to begin to take notice.
Sooners than Laters.
They lose a lot of players off that defense.
They stink.
They didn't turn out to be nearly as good as we thought they would this past season.
They stink. Back to the phones. We go let's grab another call tonight. And by the way, portions of tonight's program presented by our friends at Smart Way. I want to thank Smart Way along with Dalton Berrigan Hydraulics for helping us get through this season in one piece. Smart Way, ladies and gentlemen, everything for your home store where you're going to pay your way. Knoxville's retailer of brand new furniture and brand new appliances and the latest and greatest in electronics, and they've branched out into cell phones, and they have tires there. And the way it works is, say if you're short on a little bit of cash, you can go in right now and get the same stuff that most everyone else can afford. And you can choose to pay it the way you want to pay it. For instance, you can go in and buy it today and pay cash and go out the door. Or you can do 120 days, 6 months, same as cash. Pay the cash price within the first 120 days or 6 months. Out the door you go, bang. Or you choose a lease purchase rent to own agreement in which you choose your payment amount and the frequency, and you change it anytime you want to without the hassle of a new agreement. And that's why we call it Pay Your Way. And that's Smart Way, ladies and gentlemen. Online at gosmartway.net. Smart Way, where you will pay your way. Back to the phones we go. And I'm telling you, Smart Way does have smartphones as well. And when I say smartphones, I mean the latest and greatest names like Samsung, LG, Blue. They even have iPhones available. And the best part is, if you can't afford one of the new, very hot, but very expensive smartphones, you're able to get one at Smart Way via a lease purchase. So you'll be able to afford it over time, take advantage of 120-day same as cash on items less than $9.99, which is a store policy. Again, 120-day same as cash on items less than $9.99. So pay your way and go the smart way. Back to the phones we go. Let's grab our next call, who is Steven. Steven, hello and welcome. You're on your Smart Way Dalton Berrigan Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
What's up, Tony and Bino and Russell? How you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Steven. What's up, brother?
Well, I've got 3 points for tonight's show. It was a great victory today. The first one is I think Butch Jones has the program headed in the right direction. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The second point is Jalen Hurd is a beast. I do wish we could move him to outside linebacker just to see how he'd do. like kind of like UCLA did with Miles Jack. And my third point is New York City and Tennessee are kindred spirits. New York City survived the financial mess in the 70s, September 11th, the late aughts financial collapse in Sandy. Tennessee survived Dooley. Both can rise from the ashes like the beautiful phoenixes they are.
You know what?
That was poetic.
That's really, 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 really well put. And you have really come into your own, man. Good gosh, dude. You have really turned into a monster.
Well, thanks, Tony. I appreciate that.
Anything else for us tonight, AJ?
No, sir. Have a good one.
Thank you. And as Lee Meeks just said on Twitter, he said, I was not silent, Tony. Lee Meeks on Twitter said, I was screaming at my phone, please don't say it, Tony. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Hey, listen. You're not going to hear me say it. Brandon, go ahead. I got the microphone on Brandon Orr tonight. Go ahead, Brandon. Florida game. Go ahead and say it.
Like I said, I'm going to stay away from that one. No, I'm good.
Dubsy, say it.
You know my position on the Florida game. Tennessee will never beat Florida again. I've just come to accept that. It's a simple fact. It's science, man.
It's like the sun setting in the west, followed by the evening.
I'm not even watching the game next year. I'm not going to put myself through it. I'm going to be hanging out, watching a movie or something.
Back to our phones we go. Let's grab our next call. What a night. Bino, you having fun, or you want to go, or how are you?
Having fun, Tony. I'm right here.
Bynum said he had 20 family members at least, family and friends. He said it was just a perfect opportunity that I couldn't let not happen tonight. Hey, the way he played, and good, he played well tonight.
Good for Kenny Bynum. This is going to sound horrible, but I hope this is the last we've seen of him in a meaningful type football situation. Butch Jones is recruited over him. You're going to see
the kids like him.
Dylan Bates, Cortez McDowell.
The kids like him.
Some one of these freshmen.
The kids like him.
He was horribly out of position on the long run that gave up Iowa's first touchdown, I think.
God, you're going to be critical after that win. Here I was just being nice.
I like Kenny Bynum. You know, it's good for him.
45-28 game. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us tonight as we celebrate Tennessee's victory this evening. No lapse in phone activity this evening as they stay jammed. Let's go back to our back-to-back phone calls and grab Chad, who's next. Chad, hello.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Chad.
I'm glad to be calling after just a beatdown. Because it's just been too long since we've dominated like that. I hadn't got to hear a lot of the post game. I started streaming it, and I had family and friends over, and my wife gave me a look that told me to probably shut it off. So I don't know what all has been said so far. But
how long you been married, Chad?
10 years.
Well, you look at your wife and go, "Hey, look, we're 10 years into this.
You almost knew it
when you married me. Yeah, you're on in this day and age."
Yeah,
that's a terrible thing to say, Russell.
That's... Go right ahead, then you can call next year without any problems, because she'll run you throw your stuff out the front door.
Exactly.
Actually, Chad, what you say is, I run stuff up in here, and if you want to use the word stuff, use stuff, and then you say to her, and you say to her family, "Hey, look, I'm wide open. I want to show some emotion here. I live this stuff. I breathe this stuff. And by the way, Tony Basilio said it's okay."
Hey, Tony, I've listened to you long enough to know that you're one of the last people I should take any kind of advice on.
Interesting.
Anyway, guys, do you think it was were we that dominant, or had Iowa just mailed it in?
Both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, Iowa's a perfect opponent for Tennessee tonight. They're not. They don't have any speed. They're done with their season. They didn't want to be there. We deserve a break.
Hey,
you know the slogan, "You deserve a break today"? We deserved a break today. We needed that.
I don't want to say I was slow, but I saw more speed on the last season of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, listen. Listen, Bino, you're a fan of old soul music. You know, Stevie Wonder and McCartney had a tune about Ebony and Ivory living together in perfect harmony. Brother, it wasn't written about the football field, okay? I can promise you. Those lyrics, after watching today's game, that was not a song written about the football field.
Well, a couple of observations from my part, though, is that when I watch Jalen Hurd now, you talk about passing the eyeball. I actually now believe, I think you're going to see him on Sundays. I mean, he has instinct that, you know, you just have to get to the next level. Plus, he does what my three-year-old son does. When somebody gets hold on him, he just kind of gives them the dead leg, you know, where they just have to fall off and you can't hold on to him. I mean, he's got some moves, and it's been a while since we've had a back like that, and he really does excite me.